Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you. And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles. Okay, enough of that. KFI AM 640. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Good morning. How are you doing? 6:04 a.m. And hard to believe. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, hold your horses. It is December 11th. Oh, my God. When did that happen? When did that happen, Deborah Mark, John, producer Brent?
Crazy.
Right?
I can't believe it either.
I know. I was driving in. And I thought, no, it's not really that close to Christmas, is it? I don't have my Christmas tree up. Hopefully you do. And we have some incredible tips on how to decorate your Christmas tree. Just kidding, I don't. But but we've got a pretty good show for you today. We're going to talk about Grammy nominees. They make the big announcements this week. Also, we're going to have the story of one of the Pearl Harbor survivors on. Oh, he was fantastic. I interviewed him during the week. And we will also have Los Angeles City Council member Joe Buscaino on the phone to talk to us a little bit about this huge, very controversial idea to basically make it legal that we have these undocumented street vendors out there selling food. So I'm sure you're going to have a lot to say. So hit me up on social media. And I got to say, this morning driving in, I felt good. And there was just, sometimes it just takes a special song to get you going. Deborah Mark, I don't know what that is for you, but let me tell you what it was for me this morning. Jump. Must it be the leather white hat that I'm wearing that I got from these kids in Malibu?
Very fancy hat.
It is, right? But it's a little gangsta.
It says,
what does it say? West Coast. So it's spelled W-E-S-K-O-S-E.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it.
See that?
Yeah.
It's very cool. I'll take a picture and tweet it out. Anyway, it did something to me. It gave me, it just like, all of a sudden, I'm like, jump, Mac Daddy's, I don't even know the words, but it got me going. So I am awake for you. This is what happens when you play a little fun music for me. I want to start out, though, because all of us are guilty of this. We're all guilty of texting. How much time do you spend on your phone and your tablet, right? Your laptop. Plenty of time. I mean, tons of hours. And in fact, where was I? Oh, yesterday I was driving over to see the Christmas lights over in Torrance, took my little brother. And I'm not kidding. This woman's crossing the street with family and she is on her phone looking down. And I'm like, hello, I'm right here. I'm about to kill you because you're not paying attention. And we're all looking down at our smartphones. So there's this, there's a neurosurgeon, a local neurosurgeon who has had his own dealings with neck surgery. And he says there's something called text neck. Yeah. My KTLA colleague gets into this. Listen to this.
I think it's a very serious condition that's occurring that we're not that aware of. It may be a silent epidemic, if you will.
Dr. Todd Lanneman is a neurosurgeon in Beverly Hills, specializing in spinal surgery for 25 years. He says recently he's seen an increase of patients experiencing extreme neck pain.
It's happening because of the use of smartphones and tablets and laptops more frequently. And particularly texting. So text neck occurs when our heads are positioned in texting position.
The term text neck describes a condition when the neck is flexed forward from bending down in an unnatural position for long periods of time. Dr. Lanneman says studies have shown kids and young adults spend up to 4 hours a day with their heads tilted down 45 to 60 degrees looking at some type of device.
Our head weighs 10 to 12 pounds in neutral position.
Oh, unbelievable, right? Text neck.
Can I just tell you, my neck has been hurting, I'm not kidding, really bad. And I said to my husband, I think it was from my car accident, which was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking after listening to that report, because I'm addicted to texting.
I know. Well, you know what? We all are. We really are. And I thought it was incredible listening to this neurosurgeon talk about we really have to do exercises. So there's one of the neck therapies that you can do at home is what do they call them? Reverse neck crunches. So basically you put your arms up, right? And instead of going forward, you're just going backwards. And I tried doing it a little bit as I was looking at my stories yesterday. And I thought, oh, my God, that's bothering my neck. And it's true because we don't really work out our neck. We don't think of it. Oops. Sorry, I got to turn my phone down. We don't think of it as being.
Was that a text?
Speaking of text. I know. I don't know if it was my laptop or my iPad or my tablet or my. I mean, this is how crazy we're getting with so much technology, right? It was funny because last night I posted on Instagram. Well, yesterday was funny. I did post a picture on Instagram where I wasn't feeling well because I had really bad cramps. And it was funny the reaction I got. Some people were so loving. And then there, of course, the guys, TMI, Elizabeth. But anyhow, and then I posted a picture later with my brother. And then I looked at my, you know, my brother's caregiver and I said, look at us in this picture. So we're, you know, I'm showing Christian some images on my laptop. And then he's also holding his iPad. And I said, look at him. He is such a millennial. He's got all this technology around him. But it's true. I mean, it is just hard to believe that we could spend thousands of hours in that position with your neck looking downward. And Deborah Mark, I think you must heed the warning. You have to start finding ways of raising your phone if you're going to text so that your neck doesn't have to lower. Make sure that with your laptop, you raise your monitor up to eye level. And then if you're a great typist, of course, you don't have to look down. I'm terrible, so I have to look down still. I probably have to put my keyboard at, you know, eye level so that I don't have to look down. But all these little things will make a difference. And yes, if you don't take care of this, you will end up in surgery.
I think I need a shrink to help me just overcome this addiction. And then I don't have to worry about all the physical ailments. I'm serious. But I'm going to try those reverse crunches right now.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Yeah, because my neck is really hurting.
See, that's because that's where you hold all your stress too. But I'll tell you, it will. If you continue doing that, it causes muscle strain. You know, you get pinched nerves and herniated discs.
Back in the day, we didn't have to worry about this.
Exactly. Back in the day, you just died at age 50. It was great. It was game over. Now you have to live till 110.
I don't want to live to 110.
I know. I got to tell you, we will talk about this Pearl Harbor survivor I interviewed the other day. 93. And I swear to you, I just sat there and looked at him and said, how do you do it every day? I'm starting to get little funny aches here and there. And I can't imagine at 93 what your body feels.
Well, if you're healthy and you have family and friends around, why not? But I wouldn't want to live in pain and with nobody. I don't want to be alone.
I know. Well, I think if you're a yoga instructor or something, you get to 90 and you're still limber, right?
Right.
Like there's a gal I saw actually online on Instagram. I always, speaking of my phone, see, I watch videos all the time. I'm addicted to. And there was an 85-year-old woman out of a gym in Paris with this personal trainer that I follow, Massey Arias. And they're both working out. The woman's 85, and you should see her. She is rocking it on the stability ball, using, you know, weights. And I'm like, man, that's incredible. But you obviously have this agility because you've been moving your body for that long. It's conditioned. But Deborah Mark, I know that you spend all your time in the gym yourself.
Oh, yeah. Can't you tell? Do you see my muscles?
I can. I see it from a distance. I really do. So listen, experts say, please be careful. Make sure you know that tech neck is real. Huh? You can really have a legitimate reason to scream at your kids. Get off that phone. You're going to get text neck. And of course, it's our young people that spend even more time on it. And when I say young, I'm talking about like 10, 11, 12. Have you been around a 10-year-old? With Snapchat, it's like, hey, ho, I'm here. Lift your head up, kid.
Well, my kids are the same way. They're not 10. They're older. And they're constantly posting Snapchat, Instagram, texting.
Isn't that crazy? You're like, do you know how to say hello?
Seriously, I have to say that.
You must get into that. Hey, but they probably were checking out the Grammy nominations. Whoa, Grammys 2017. Around the corner. I can't believe we're really just a month out from less than a month for the new year. So Grammy nominations for 2017 have been announced. We're going to play a little music, see if one of your favorite songs, one of your favorite artists has been nominated. This is Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, 6:13 a.m., KFI AM 640, Deborah Mark in the newsroom.
The Stanford Marching Band has been temporarily...
magic in the air. Head to toe,
see Elizabeth. I'm not kidding. She is dancing her heart out.
You know what? It's a party.
So cute.
Yeah, you're so cute. KFI AM 640. Just trying to wake you up and wake myself up. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. 620 AM and never too early or too late to dance. Don't you dance? You love to dance, Sarah Mark?
I like to dance. I'm not the greatest dancer.
Doesn't matter. It's
about shaking. But it is fun.
Isn't it?
I think of it as burning calories and having fun.
Yeah. It's liberating. I love this song, by the way. Little Bruno Mars. Nice. And by the way, we're going to get into Grammy nominations right now. They made the big announcement, of course, this week. And but before, I know, Deborah Mark, you were just saying that you guys, your husband's an editor. So, like, he edits for what?
That's not what he does really anymore, but he's a film editor.
Oh, wow. For movies.
For movies, and he's done TV, too. So, yeah. But he works with another editor who is privy to screeners, and so is my husband. And we binge-watched stuff yesterday.
No way! So you've been watching all the latest movies.
Can I just tell you...
Collateral Damage. Have you seen that?
No, but that is one of them.
Lucky! I need to borrow
I think. We have so many. But Sloan...
It's Beauty, by the way, not Collateral Damage.
Yeah, it was Beauty. I was gonna say, I knew something sounded.
It just hit me. I was like, Err.
That's why, okay.
That's why you paused. So, wait, yeah. You were saying Sylvester?
No, Sloan.
Sloan.
With Jessica Chastain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really great.
Really, really good. She is gonna be nominated for Best Actress. That's
really?
My. And I think the movie will be nominated for Best Picture.
Look at you, you little film critic, you. We're gonna have to have you on to talk about the nominations for Oscars come January.
And Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation. Wow. Really I feel terrible. I haven't seen anything actually. I just need to.
It's early in the season.
So I'm gonna hopefully at least watch this Star Wars Rogue One or whatever it's called. But in the meantime, I do love music, and I'm very excited because the 59th Grammy Awards were announced, and last year's Best New Artist, Meghan Trainor, who's like all sexied up now, it's funny, I do love her music though, she basically announced all the marquee categories, of course, did that live on CBS, and listen, the field is led by who other than Beyonce. Beyonce took away 9 nominations, and also who did very well was Drake, Rihanna, and Kanye West, which I hope he's doing better because I hear he's still receiving medical treatment at home and family's with him. But Drake, Rihanna, and Kanye took about 8. All right, but let's talk about Record of the Year. And I got to tell you, I think my favorite of all of these, it's a tough one, but it's my girl. It's my girl, Adele.
Yes.
I love Adele. Yes. Adele was nominated for Hello. Deborah, sing it with me. Go.
I don't want to ruin the song.
Clearly, I don't care. I'm like,
I'll mouth the words you sing.
Yeah, you are sorry for this. I don't know the words anymore.
Okay, I want her voice. I want her voice.
Well, you know, I love her authenticity. And, you know, her video on the karaoke, carpool karaoke with Jason.
What's his name? I'm picturing him.
Is that
him.
Jason?
No.
Something Corden. I know it's something Corden.
James.
James Corden. Ah, you know, James Jason. He's a Brit. It's all good. So Corden, his video with her where they're doing the carpool karaoke is so wonderful. And it's the most, apparently, the video that's been most watched or so. So it's kind of cool. So she took the nomination for Album of the Year, also Record of the Year. But Beyonce is in there as well with Formation.
My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
This is the one where it was controversial, right? I mean, people were like, oh my God, what happened to my sweet Beyonce? She has an opinion about Black Lives Matter? What?
Yeah. Like in the, I was cleaning it, and the second chorus has like 6 f-bombs. I'm like, this is Beyonce? Like,
I know
the crazy know. In love single Beyonce.
Yeah,
like, what?
Yeah, the one that came out with, remember, like, what was that one song with Destiny's Child that she used to sing? Like, it's a breakup song, and she says, you can bad mouth me, but my mama taught me better, blah blah blah. And now she's like, my mama taught me, but I forgot, and now I'm gonna drop the f-bomb. It's okay. Yeah, the Formation song is pretty intense. I had no idea, in fact, until I heard it as well one day, and I thought, oh, this is, I think heavily influenced by her husband, Jay-Z.
I was just about to say that. I was just telling Brent right now, like, it's Jay-Z. It has
it's
to be Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Totally. It's like, okay, babe, okay, that whole sweet image, it's not going to work anymore. We need to get some more money. So up your game, sister. It's probably the conversation at home. But what about one of my Song of the Year nominations? And this song, close to my heart, because it actually inspired me. And I went to Ibiza.
I took a pill in Ibiza to show a Fiji I was cool. And when I finally got sober, felt 10 years older, but it was something to do.
Yeah.
I'm living up in L.A. I drive a sports car just to prove I'm a real big baller because I made $1 million.
In this time, da.
You don't want to be high like me. Never want to be high like me.
It's a good story. If you listen to this guy, and he was on Nightline of all things, they were talking, they interviewed this Mike Posner kid, who was like, yeah, I told my story that I did very well. I became really popular. And then I kind of just blew it all, his money. And now he's kind of, you know, back on scene and starting over. But he talks about how fame can get to your head and you have to be really careful. And I went to Ibiza, you remember, in August. And I did. I took a pill in Ibiza, but not that pill. I was laughing because I was at the club and I was kind of blown away by how many, you know, young kids, 21, were popping pills. Not the pills I was taking, because I did catch a cold while I was in Ibiza, sadly. So I was popping antibiotics, Cipro. I was like, yeah, kid, it's not what you think. This white pill, not what you're looking for. Oh, God, I felt like such a grandma, but it was awesome. And wait, let's play another. I do like this song. It does make me get around the house and do a lot of cleaning. Record of the Year, Rihanna featuring Drake. Work.
Work, 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 work. It's a me heavy work, work, work.
Picture me. I get in the bathroom and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna scrub that bathtub. Oh yeah. Oh my God, you should see John and producer Brent right now. All right, look, can we see that again? Play, wait, bust the music. Let's hear it. Raise it. I want to see your dance. Hold on. Wait, let me see if I can tweet you guys. Hold on. I'm gonna try to get this video going here so I can. Hold on. I'll post it for you guys. You can see it. Ready?
No, you're good. Okay, you're good. No, you don't have to do this.
Do it fast.
Oh
go.
Gosh.
Bust it. Go. Look at this. Go, producer Brent. Come on, don't be shy. Come on. Peek.
I can't see. What are they doing?
I know. They're doing the work, the little like shoulder.
Oh, how cool.
The little shoulder bump. Yeah. Shag.
Catch us on TMZ tonight. The video will be there.
Clearly.
Oh, cool. Okay.
TMZ.com. Oh my gosh, that's too funny. Well, do we have a chance? No, we're out of time for the next song. Maybe we'll play one coming back, because there's another song we want to play. And then the Pearl Harbor, Ewald Schatz, who I met. He is incredible. I do have a big crush on him. So we come back Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI, AM 640. Deborah Mark, take it away.
A police officer in Orange has been seriously hurt after...
Your love. All right. KFI AM 640. We're on iHeartRadio. Welcome to all of you listening from down the street, Glendale, Burbank. Those of you in Reno, Nevada, shout out. What about Indiana's in the house? Hey, Alabama. What about New York? What about San Francisco? All right. I got you all. You know that. Got you right here Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. We've been talking about Grammy nominations. And this is fun. We will talk about my new boyfriend. You didn't hear? Yes. He's 93, but let me tell you something. He's got game. He got swagger. So I met the most incredible Pearl Harbor survivor during my story at KTLA this week, on Pearl Harbor Day, of course. And he is the cutest thing. And in fact, if you get a moment, you can go and see him. He's literally, seriously, he's hitting on me. It's adorable. And I had a role on it, like just a little portion where he's asking me, like, why aren't you married? And I'm like, exactly. Don't get me started, Ewald. And so I shot a little video on my Instagram. It's at Elizabeth Espinosa. He's just so sweet. He just warms my heart every time I see him. And my Twitter, of course, is at @E_Espinosa, ESPINOSA. And my girl, Deborah Mark, in the newsroom. Shout yourself out, sister.
Deborah Mark 1.
All right.
At Deborah Mark 1.
At Deborah Mark 1 4.
That's Twitter. Girl. And then Deborah.Mark is Instagram. It's early. I get 3 hours of sleep Saturday nights.
Oh my God, that's me. Same thing.
Gosh.
3 hours. That's
really?
So, yeah, that's why I'm like, ah. And then as soon as the show's over, I'm like,
oh,
just
me
die.
Too. Oh.
It just falls to the ground.
Yep.
You know, only fair that we also shout out my boys over here. John on the ones and twos. What's your Instagram? Because people want to follow you as well and Twitter.
Oh, that's cute. It's gonna be, I'm just kidding.
Cute? That's sweet, maybe.
That is.
Sweet. There it is. That's the word I was looking for.
Cute.
Gosh, adjectives. It's at Hey Little John. H-E-Y Little L-I-T-T-L-E.
Yes, hey.
John.
J-O-N. Got it. And then producer Brent, yours is? What's your Twitter or Instagram? Here, just shout it out to John.
He doesn't have one. Oh.
Yes, he does. I know you do. What's yours?
Well, I have a work Twitter.
Yeah, what is it?
KFISMN. And
at KFISMN.
KFISMN. Sunday Morning News. That's way back in the day.
That's old school. I love it. Okay, great. So listen, Grammy nomination's been announced this week, and we thought we'd continue with the list because these are some pretty good songs. Who likes Ariana Grande, right? The girl who likes to spit on donuts or whatever she did.
She was really cute in Hairspray. The Hairspray.
Oh, that's
live.
Right. That's right. She's got an incredible voice. I mean, it's amazing that it comes out of that like pint-sized body. She's a little one. Ariana Grande nominated for Best Pop Solo Performance for Dangerous Woman. Something about you makes me feel like a dangerous woman. And I love how she tries to be really sexy, and then you look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, who let you out of school early today? Girl, you on the blacktop. she's just so, it's cute that they're trying to be really sensual and sexy. I think it's over-sexualized, actually, for their age. Even, what is she, like 21 or something? But still, she looks 12. I mean,
she
really.
Does.
She really does look 12.
I thought
12.
She was 16.
Yeah, no, I thought so, too. She still looks that. So it's a little, it's funny. What about best pop duo group performances? This team, I'll call them a team, but they're really a band. They're getting a lot of notoriety. The Chainsmokers featuring Halsey. Closer. Hey.
I was doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue.
Oh.
But I'm okay.
You sure? Hey.
Tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again.
Whoa, I thought we were friends.
I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city and I broke down crying.
This song is kind of funny. The lyrics are weird.
Now you're looking pretty.
Keep going, watch
out. I can't stop.
They talk about not being able to afford cigarettes or something in the song. It's very complicated. Here. Whoa, it's a family show. We're taking, all right, that's enough of that. You're killing that closer song. Now, this kid is incredible. He's from Denmark, Lucas Graham, and he actually was raised on a commune. I read about this kid, and he has a really interesting perspective about life and growing up. And, you know, how people talk about helicopter parenting. He's like, oh, I was just allowed to do anything. I was allowed to smoke marijuana. I was allowed to just roam. And again, it's a commune setting in Denmark. I've been to Denmark, by the way, and they are very, very liberal. They're definitely very progressive in everything, energy, education. In fact, when you go to Denmark, it's true for most of Scandinavia because they're such small countries and nobody speaks their language. They all speak perfect English, probably better than a lot of the kids here. I'm not even kidding because they learn it in school along with, say, Danish or if you're in Norway, Norwegian. But Lucas Graham, nominated for a very cool song, I think, 7 Years.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old.
Got a little, like, baby theme in there, right?
It was a big, big world, but we thought we were bigger. Pushing each other to the limits, we were learning quicker. By 11, smoking herb and drinking burning liquor. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady figure. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy.
And then he starts to talk about how his daddy told me to.
Get yourself a wife or you'll be
11.
Lonely.
He was told that 11 he'll get a wife? Wow. Dad's a little head of the curve there.
You know, I was always wondering about the song. Now, with your description, now I get it.
That's
I didn't really get it before.
Yeah, and then at 30, what's the next thing he says at 30? Make sure you get a good pension. Oh, no, he didn't say that. But it's as if he talks about at 30 and then at 50, you know, just go and die somewhere nice. I'm just kidding. He does not say that. But it's a really, he's got an interesting story, this Lucas Graham kid. And then this song, of course, I've got to get you rap fiends. I mean, we have a lot of people on this show that listen to us that are not going to lie. They're big time rappers. Love their rap music. Yeah, KFI is known for that, just so you know. Best rap song. In the category of best rap song, I had to bring this up because, so, you aren't you always surprised by friends or people you meet and their musical choices, their taste? And so here I am, one of my new friends in my circle of life is a surgeon. And this guy is very intense, very, you know, black and white. Does his thing. No, this is a different person, by the way, Deborah Mark. She's giving me the eye. We got a little, you know, winky winky conversation going on here. But he's an incredible doctor. And I'm thinking, like, he, you know, might like really relaxing music. And we get in the car, and what does he like? The song that's been nominated for Best Rap Song by Joseph Cart. Wait, who is it? You know who the artist? Who's the artist?
It's Fat Joe.
Fat Joe, thank you. I don't even know what the name of the artist is, but Fat Joe, and the song is called All the Way Up. Let's play it.
Go. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. What you need?
What you need?
My niggas run the game, we ain't never leave,
never leave.
Counting up this money, we ain't never sleep,
never sleep.
You got V12, I got 12 V's.
All the way up.
Oh my gosh, is that funny? Can you just imagine the surgeon driving
no.
a Mercedes and all of a sudden, I'm all the way up.
I just can't relate to this music. I feel like I feel so old. My kids listen to this and I just I feel like an old lady say that. My kids, what is this music?
It's so funny. Well, Deborah, I actually hang out with Fat Joe. Kind of helped him with the lyrics on this one. It was really hard.
Oh, did you?
All the way up. Yeah. But it's a cute song. The whole idea is that, you know.
I've never heard it.
Really? No, it's all about, like, you know, we're going to make it.
Oh.
And we're going to go all the way up. So it's an inspiring song, but it's always funny when I think of my surgeon friend listening to this song in the car. So can you imagine you pull up to the light and you turn, you're like, that's the car that's rocking that song? Okay. All right, we come back. My new boyfriend, the Pearl Harbor survivor. He is adorable, Mr. Schatz, and these incredible stories that we cannot forget. Just the way we love kids and they love their rap music. Well, they need to know their history. And that's why we're going to share some of that story when we come back Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. All the way up. KFI AM 640. Deborah Mark, take it away.
The Republicans on the Senate Armed Services Committee are joining with...
Ready.
AM, KFI AM 640. This is Confident.
What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident?
Oh, yeah. Demi Lovato, of course, nominated, by the way, by the Grammys for her song, this song right here, Confident. We thought we'd throw that in there.
Love that song.
Right? It's a great dance class song. So I took some dance lessons in West LA. And they played this song, and it's like, oh, just get you in the mood. You know, you feel like you're, you know, part of this big team. They're choreographing, and then you're like, oh, I'm just in this dance class. Yeah. Welcome back to reality. Well, listen, this was an incredible week for me. As you know, Pearl Harbor, the anniversary was this week. And I had the privilege of going out to San Pedro over at the USS Iowa. And they had a memorial, a tribute, if you will, with survivors, other veterans, and I had the incredible opportunity of meeting Donald Cook, who's one of the Pearl Harbor survivors, 94 years young, and I call them young because they really are. They're so young at heart. And Ewald Schatz. Now, Ewald Schatz is 93, and he was married for, I think, 50 years or so. His wife passed away 5 years ago, but he was there with his son. And this is a man who says, you know, he remembers, like yesterday, being on his ship, the USS Patterson, And he was 18 years old. Think about this. He was only 18 when all this, you know, happened. And he was, he said when he started hearing the bombs drop, isn't that crazy? 75 years ago this week, he heard the bombs drop. He realized, you know, something's very wrong. And he'd never been behind or had used the artillery, you know, like the 50 caliber machine gun on the ship. And he had to get behind one of them and started shooting. And it was the darkest moment, yet he is incredible in telling his story that he would say, Elizabeth, you just do what you do and you keep moving. You keep moving forward. And so he stayed. In fact, him and Donald Cook, who was the other gentleman that we interviewed, he stayed in the military even after losing over 2,000 men and women and civilians at Pearl Harbor that day, 75 years ago, the day of infamy. And I have a little bit of sound that we had with him. And again, he's such a cutie patootie. Here's some of Ewald Schatz.
Thank you for interviewing me.
Oh, listen, this is my privilege. And we are in front of the USS Iowa. What an incredible story of survival that you have and all the memories that we can't obviously sum up in this quick interview. But share with us today what Pearl Harbor Remembrance means for you.
Well, it's just a continuation of what we ought to do, and we ought to don't give up these celebrations and keep them so that it brings everything to the forefront.
Absolutely. Yeah. You are a young man. You are 93.
Yeah, and right. And you don't want to lose it, because that's what happens if you don't keep it alive.
Yeah.
Because everybody forgets, and forgetful is a bad thing sometimes.
I absolutely agree. 75 years ago, hard to believe. We have some footage we want to show you. That was December 7th, 1941. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, at that time, declaring a day of infamy. We were thrust into World War II, and it all started at 7:48 a.m. is when the bombing began. You remember this, of course. It's hard to believe, right, that it's been
right.
So long.
And it's been that long.
The Japanese sunk 4 ships at Pearl Harbor in Oahu, Hawaii, damaged several others. You know, there are some veterans who talk about seeing and remembering sailors jumping off the ships, hoping to make it out alive.
Well, I never saw anybody jump off of any ship, but
love is honesty.
Everybody was worried. Naturally, I was, and as long as I kept active, kept shooting that 50 caliber machine gun, I was okay. But when I would stop and think about what's going on, well, then I would shake in my boots. You know, I would get very nervous about it. But as long as you That's why I think is if people keep it in mind, so that when you don't keep it in mind, this then
we make mistakes
and we forget. And we forget is a bad thing.
It is a bad thing. And you were a water tender, first class seaman. Ewald was only 18 years old when he was over in Pearl Harbor. Sir, thank you so much for everything. And you are so adorable. So adorable.
Well, you are adorable, too.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Hold on here. Thank you so much, Ewald Schatz. And we will have much more with our Pearl Harbor veterans later on in today's shows. But again, I can't
Oh, he was
enough.
So sweet. So that was our live interview with him at Wednesday, for Pearl Harbor Day. Over at the USS Iowa, and I was a little nervous. I thought, well, I don't know how he's going to feel about going live on television. That's always hard for anyone, right? But he was fine. He sat there with me. We did the live interview, and there were so many stories I wanted to, you know, be able to throw in there in the 2-minute space that we get for the newscast. But he was incredible, just sharing these stories and all these pictures. And there were other veterans out there. But I met Bobby, who his father was. Someone who fought, who was there at Pearl Harbor, had passed away a few years ago. But this gentleman, now in his 60s, was also a veteran. He was a veteran of the Vietnam War. So, boy, can you imagine? It's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, for all of your service, my gosh. I mean, talk about the ultimate sacrifice. But it is important. I think that the lesson, the biggest takeaway when I was talking to him and the other survivor was that we can't forget these stories. And it's sad that there's so many young people don't even know what Pearl Harbor means. They don't understand the story behind Pearl Harbor Day. And it's true. The one thing that he really impressed upon me was that if we forget our history, we are much more prone to committing those mistakes again. And we don't want that to happen. And we, and I think, especially in this time where there's so much division, it's important to keep those lessons in mind at the forefront and get rid of the egos. It's going to be hard, but that's going to be very important because that's how we get ourselves in trouble. And I know a lot of, I think we're taking, where some people are calling in, and there's so many incredible stories that people want to share with us. And we will, of course, post any stories that you want to share with us, you know, notes. I will definitely mention on my Twitter account and my Instagram. But 75 years have gone by, and he was, I did have to ask him, I said, gosh, you have seen everything. Born in like 1923, right? I said, what is it like? You look at these iPhones. That didn't exist. FaceTime. He's like, I know. He's like, I'm always impressed. I can't believe that it actually works. That was what he said. He was so cute. And then I said, what are you most proud of? He said, my family. He has children, and unfortunately, he lost his wife. And I said, well, are you dating? He says, yeah. And I go, okay, well, who's the latest? And he said, well, I was dating this 85-year-old woman. He's so cute. I said, okay, a little younger. That's good. You know, you're 93. And what happened? I mean, was it getting serious? And he's like, well, I had to go to the doctor, and I was away for a little bit. And when I came back, this is exactly what he said. Are you ready? I'm quoting him. He said, she found greener pastures. And I go, what do you mean by that? He's like, well, she met somebody else. I said, seniors can be players. So don't be fooled by the slow pace. Don't be fooled by the poor vision. They've got more game than you and I. Let's be real. Incredible stories. Thank you so much, Ewalt Schatz and Donald Cook and all our veterans, all of them, Pearl Harbor, Vietnam vets, our vets right now serving for us on the other side of the planet as we speak. We don't forget you. We thank you. We love you. And we honor you. Much more. We got Councilmember Joe Buscaino, who will be coming on to talk about street vendors here in Los Angeles in the next hour, and some very fun shout outs, too. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.
I'm all the way up.
Don't mind us. We'll be over here by the eggnog. The good eggnog. Keep it coming, swinger. And mazel tov. Hey, hey.
Welcome to Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Woo, there's a lot going on in the news. We got Russian spies. Our election, well, turned out because of Russian hackers. And now our government's all confused. Our president-elect doesn't really like the CIA. Another frosty relationship like Nixon had with the CIA. Wow, there's so much going on. But we're going to keep it local, huh? How about that? We have shout-outs, too, coming up. So we will do that in a little bit. But we got a big show here this hour. Not only do we have LA City Councilmember Joe Buscaino on the show right now, but we also, well, Joe, you have some competition. We also have, yes, VIP member of the Sunday Morning show, Santa Claus. Yay! Give it up for Santa Claus. Santa Claus is coming to pay us a visit, so you've got to tune in for that. I'll give you an up. I'll give you a heads up when that's going to happen. So there's a story, of course, here in Los Angeles that we've been following, and I've followed also at KTLA. In fact, I was there for the first press conference that was held to announce the motion to legalize and decriminalize street vending in Los Angeles. As you know, there are about 24,000, if not more, street vendors in LA City proper. And you see them selling food, clothes, you know, anything, items, you know. And these are mostly undocumented workers. So it's a big... It's a pretty big move, and I know that, again, welcome to Sunday Morning, by the way, Joe Buscaino.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having me. What a great opportunity to start my week with you in the 7 o'clock hour.
here good on answer. KNX.
Very good answer. Good answer. You said you did say the competition, but it's okay.
That's fine. I have a list for Santa Claus. Trust me.
You're so cute. All right, listen. Here's the deal. What is the story with this motion? Please, please explain.
So we're going to hear this motion tomorrow at 1 o'clock at City Hall to find a way to regulate street vending. And it's a framework policy that my colleague, Councilmember Curran Price, and I are proposing to the Public Works Committee, in which I chair. Bottom line is, Elizabeth, as you heard in the first press conference, the Los Angeles is known for our food culture. Right now we have an unregulated underground economy that is out of hand. So we are doing everything we can here with this proposal that would look at, one, decriminalizing street vending in the city of Los Angeles. We are the last standing city, major city, I would say, in the world that has that doesn't have a street vending policy. We are looking at ways to legalize it. Specifically, what's being proposed is to allow vending to occur only in commercial and industrial zones, which limits only two vendors per block. In addition, because we're such a diverse city, and some neighborhoods we're seeing increase in vending, and others we don't, that we will be able to create special districts through the three options, and that's through the approval of either the LA City Council, the Board of Public Works, or a petition of the property owner. So this, again, it's a framework that's being proposed tomorrow in my Public Works Committee, and we're looking for a comprehensive policy that is going to most, and for us, a concern of ours is decriminalizing it. And I, as a police officer, I know that we can't arrest our way out of street vending, and we know it's here, we know it exists, and we want to help those who you know, want to contribute to our local economy and put food on their table and support their families. And we feel that we shouldn't have to criminalize street vending in the city.
Well, and Joe, let's also clarify that the current policy is if someone is found selling a hot dog, that's illegal. And generally, law enforcement will take away their equipment and cite them, right?
Right. So the sidewalk, either selling hot dogs or T-shirts or CDs. And that's what's before us today, and we know that it doesn't work, that, yes, with what we have right now, it's completely illegal to have any vending in the city of Los Angeles. And we have pointed to parts of the world like Rome and Beijing and Paris, and here within our country, if you go to New York City, San Francisco, Oregon, even Chicago, and I have friends and colleagues from these specific parts of the country that say that they too have regulated and legalized vending, and it works, and it's our time now.
Well, you know, and these are, you call these micro businesses, right?
Yeah, I've always said that this is an equity issue as well. If we're supporting startups from the technology industry and other industries around the country and around the city, rather, you know, we celebrate the fact that we have you know, firms coming in on the west side, our Silicon Beach, we call it, and other parts of downtown Los Angeles. And we regulate, we ensure that they have appropriate permits. To me, it's an equity issue. Why aren't we doing the same with these entrepreneurs who want to contribute to our local economy, which I feel, you know, with vending and the regulation of vending, we're looking at improving our economic development opportunities, increasing public safety, as I've always said, and bring in some city revenue with these fees that vendors would help pay for enforcement, education, and partnering with our LA County colleagues on the Department of Health. So it's our time, as I mentioned before.
You think it's just good overall. But Joe, here's the part of the issue though, right? I know that you're still working on it with your policy, and you know, folks. But how are you going to get, because part of the urgency I remember hearing from all of you at the press conference is trying to get this approved before President-elect Donald Trump is sworn into office January 20th. Why?
The ongoing threats from the new administration coming in. President-elect has made it clear, President-elect Trump, rather, has made it clear that he wants to deport criminal aliens. And obviously, if someone is here undocumented that is will be arrested with the misdemeanor crime for vending, we feel that would fall within his deportation efforts. And the vendors throughout the city of Los Angeles, we feel, are the most vulnerable. And we want to kind of assure them that if you're trying to support your families and contribute to our local economy, you should not be penalized and or deported for contributing to our city.
Well, and you talk about contributions to our city. There are also some concerns over the health code with the street vending that relates to food. So when we come back, I want to delve a little bit more into what your thoughts are as to how you're going to control, you know, health and safety.
Sure.
This way, and also talk about somewhat of the backlash, because it is controversial, and there are those who feel it's sending the wrong message to those who are in the country illegally. So when we come back, we've got LA City Councilmember Joe Buscaino talking about the new policy to protect immigrant street vendors. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640, Deborah Mark in the newsroom.
President-elect Trump says the CIA's conclusion.
KFI, where local leads. KFI, an iHeartRadio station.
AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Keep your tweets and Instagram posts coming. So we're talking to LA City Councilmember Joe Buscaino, who, by the way, in case you don't know, is a former Los Angeles Police Department officer. So he's worked the streets of LA. He knows what's going on out there. And now he's a politician. So welcome and thank you for getting up early with us here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're talking about your proposal with LA City Councilmember Curran, right?
Curran Price, yes.
Curran Price, of course.
Los Angeles, which actually a number of these vendors come out of his district. So he's being responsive as well to his district as well.
And you guys are looking at trying to basically legalize, decriminalize street vending in Los Angeles. You're calling these folks entrepreneurs. These are micro businesses. And the urgency to get this done before January 20th is because of the threats of deportation made by President-elect Trump, correct?
Yes, definitely. We're leading with urgency on this, in fear of what's to come with the new administration's policy on immigration.
Now, you know that critics of, you know, anything immigration, really, are going to look at this and say this is so controversial because it feels like you're sending the wrong message. Plus, you have no specific health code plan for the city. How do you respond to that?
Well, first, we value our residents here in Los Angeles. We are a city, a country of immigrants, and regardless of where you come from, your success is our city's success. This is our message. Los Angeles is the beneficiary of people's hard work, and we want to protect them. 63%, Elizabeth, 63% of the population here in Los Angeles are immigrants, including 20,000 young people who are currently protected by DACA, and we want all our residents to feel safe.
Well, you're saying recent immigrants, but the truth of the matter is we're all immigrants, right? Because I don't think, unless we're all Native American, then we belonged here in the first place, right?
Absolutely. I'm a proud son of Italian immigrants. My mom and dad came from Italy in 1968 for the fishing industry here in San Pedro. And I believe it's important that we all stand up for our city and its residents, including those who may be living here without legal citizenship. And the threat that these residents should be torn away from their families and homes here in Los Angeles is of a concern. Even more so if the fear of being arrested for sidewalk vending and being pulled away from their family is a concern.
Now, what about the health code part of this?
So this is why we need regulation, right? Right now, it's a free-for-all. Anywhere in the city of Los Angeles, you need some regulation to be required to have a state seller's permit. Vendors would also require a county health permit. They would require a city business tax registration certificate, liability insurance, and for me, most importantly, because we being folded in the business community. It's important to have a partnership with the business community. This vendor would have to have the adjacent property owner's written consent to vend in front of the business.
And let me just stop you there, because I think that is it's a great idea, because you want to include, of course, the brick and mortar businesses. But isn't it somewhat of a standardized way of giving them too much veto power? Because I'm assuming some of these businesses will most likely say no. And then where do they go?
Well, it's again, it's that balanced approach, and this is something that we've learned from other cities around the world. And it's important to for those, you know, again, this is we'd only be able to vend in commercial or industrial zones, and we have over 10,000 miles of sidewalk, so there's plenty of room for everyone. And if the business does not embrace vending, then you know he or she, the business owner, would not be forced to have that signed consent. Nonetheless, it's if you look at special vending districts that we're proposing today, that some, like I mentioned earlier, some parts of the city are not going to embrace vending. So with that, there would still be opportunities to either restrict, limit the amount of vending, or don't have no vendors in other parts of the city by having LA City Council approval or Board of Public Works approval, or a petition of property owners. So I feel, Curran and I feel, that this is a balanced approach moving forward, and we're hoping to get the support from our colleagues on the council.
And you're thinking, so it's four businesses per block is the idea. This is all a framework, by the way. I mean, this could totally change tomorrow.
Right, absolutely. In addition, looking at operational restrictions, you know, garbage bins must be provided, no vending within one block of special events, hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Again, there are a number of requirements, location restrictions, and operational restrictions in place that's being proposed.
So, Joe, what kind of tax revenue do you think is going to come from these vendors?
Well, it's going to be much better than what we have right now, because we don't have any tax revenue, and we feel that this is why we need to have some regulations in place with enforcement and education, because right now it's a free-for-all.
It isn't. You know, I got to tell you, I was out there at the over by MacArthur Park when I did my story, and I was just blown away by just it's so concentrated there, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of vendors. It does kind of impede with, you know, sidewalk traffic. But people know that's the space to go get food, maybe to buy shampoo. I mean, you see everything, really.
Well, if you look at MacArthur Park, that's a prime example that, you know, it's in, you know, that's a specific area of the city that embraces vending and supports its vendors. But we've also heard from the businesses there that it's out of control. And this is why, you know, we have a policy recommendation in place that would, you know, either embrace, limit, or limit the amount of vendors in and around the city of Los Angeles. And also just know that, you know, for me, as a former police officer, reserve officer now, I've felt that we should have some restrictions in place for those who do not abide by the rules. So what's being proposed, Elizabeth, are also fines, suspension of permit, and overall confiscation of property if indeed vendors don't follow the proposed policy.
And Joe, I know that, I mean, some of those families, you know, women that I interviewed, tell me they only make about $30, $35 a day, and they get out there really early. So I know you have proposed operational hours, but some get there at 4 a.m. and then stay out throughout the whole day.
Again, being responsive as a former senior lead officer here with LAPD, I got to know these vendors on a personal basis as well, because of my run-ins with vendors. And this is another reason why I'm kind of know that we can't arrest our way out of street vending in the city of Los Angeles. These folks work hard, and if it allows them to expand their base, they'll be allowed up to three permits in the city of Los Angeles. Because again, our ultimate goal is to decriminalize vending, set some regulations, and support these families who are trying to put food on their table.
But Joe, I do have to ask you, how are you going to reach out to undocumented workers who, as it is, and especially with President-elect Trump coming in, want nothing to do with the establishment, and you represent the establishment, and they don't want to be, you know, followed by you if you sign up and now they have your information, where to find you.
This is why within the last year and a half, we've partnered with the Coalition of Street Vendors. And as we know, majority of them are undocumented. So it's important that we instill faith, trust, and confidence in the system, and we're using the coalition to do so.
I see. So you are working with local agencies and nonprofits.
Absolutely. And some of the consular officers as well.
I have seen actually a couple of Facebook pages. All right. So in support with the nonprofits. So,
yeah, including, if I may, just the Times op-ed piece editorial today that just came out this morning said, give vendors a chance.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an incredible idea. I think we should. I don't see what the problem is. And look, at the end of the day, if I had to, especially with, you know, political climate and how it's changing in this country, we never know if we end up in China having to learn to speak Chinese and,
right,
you know, learn to make Chinese food and sell it on the street. So, you know,
yep,
karma's real. So let's be nice now. But I'm sure you have a lot of work still to make sure this is as perfect as it can be proposal. And I know you will work on that. So tomorrow,
right,
it's going through the Department of Public Works, correct?
Yeah. I chair the committee, the Public Works Committee.
Yeah. And when will we know if this, in fact, is approved by the city council?
We are hoping to make some recommendations to the council upon returning of our winter break. So looking at early January, we're hoping to get to council floor. Now, you know, we have an amazing city council. My colleagues and I have worked hard on big ticket items such as this one, and I'm anxious to hear the feedback from my colleagues or maybe some amendments.
Okay.
Moving forward, and
well, keep us posted. Okay,
yes,
I know you have to
so
run
much
as
for
well.
Having me.
Yes, LA City Council Member Joe Buscaino, thank you so much for your time this morning. Good luck.
Thank you.
Oh, and if we don't talk, Merry Christmas, Happy
Merry
New Year.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
All righty. When we come back, I do want to talk about Malibu, the Coastal Commission. The Coastal Commission's getting tough. There's a new sheriff in town. We have all the details. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa on KFI AM 640. My dear Deborah Mark, take it away.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter has made a surprise visit.
People, good morning. It is December 11th. I know Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah, he's coming soon. And he's going to be on the show, so you can't miss that, kids. And KFI AM 640 Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. In fact, we have two little ones up this morning, I've heard, tuning in. So we're going to give them a shout out. Let's say hello, everyone, to, let's see if I have the names here in front of me. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Maya and Leo, good morning. Hopefully you're on your best behavior, eating your vegetables this early. Just kidding. They're like, whoa, we want cereal. Also, shout out to Eric Gomez, Northwestern Mutual. They were fantastic. They actually had me out, invited me to an incredible holiday party on a yacht. It was a yacht party in Newport Beach. Thursday night is very nice. I thought it'd be really cold, so I took a big jacket, and it turned out it was okay. Wasn't so terrible. But thank you all for tuning in. I know we've got some other special shout-outs coming up, so don't go away. I wanted to get into a little bit before I talk to you about the Malibu situation that we discussed yesterday, actually, at KTLA, or Friday. Oh, you have it now? Okay. But before I go to that anyway, I just want to mention there's a Westwood. I don't know if you heard about this. There's a retirement community in Westwood, and it's off of Tiverton Avenue. I actually remember this because I went to UCLA, and you know, we always go by there. We knew it was a retirement home. Well, it's just terrible because it's called Westwood Horizons Retirement Community, and these folks are like in their 90s, I mean, 70 to 100 years old, and they're being asked now to move out. Well, that's kind of putting it nicely. They're kicking them out, in essence, because the home along Tiverton there is being converted to a luxury state licensed care facility for the elderly. And so the owner says that residents need to move out because of the potentially disruptive construction, and they'll temporarily cut off utilities. And I guess under this law, I guess it's called the Ellis Act, owners are allowed to remove units from the rental housing market. But thankfully, LA City Council Member Paul Koretz is contesting that eviction of more than 150 elderly residents. Again, we're talking folks who are from 70 to 100 years old. Come on, give these people a chance. The watermark is the folks who are responsible, and they've declined an interview. But it really upsets me because You're talking about residents like Joseph Goldfarb. He's 99 years old. And he says, I'm a Holocaust survivor. I lived through something like this before. And this is almost the same. Come on. You don't get to the end of your life to, you know, you're comfortable in your living space. And all of a sudden, because someone's greedy and they want to convert into something else, they're being pushed out. At that age, have a little heart, Watermark. Please. Show a little respect, especially for these Holocaust survivors. My God. Where's the decency in people? All right. Also, speaking of lack of decency, in Malibu, there are two property owners that have been cited $5.1 million. Listen to my report because someone's in trouble.
This has been an ongoing issue for a very long time here along the coastline. And let me show you what we're talking about here. Dr. Warren Lynn is a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon who's one of many wealthy Malibu beach property owners out here who think that just because they can afford to buy property on the beach, they own this part of the California coastline. So take a look at this video. This man is Dr. Warren Lent. And yeah, he's probably not very happy this morning. Yesterday, the California Coastal Commission unanimously approved a cease and desist order against him and his wife, Henny, who, by the way, we called. I spoke to over the phone. We were right outside their medical office, and she said her husband was not available. No comment. And then she hung up on me. Now, they were cited about $4.2 million for blocking public access to the beach at their $900 per day rental we just showed you live here off of PC.
Okay, I thought we had the interviews with the people we talked to, but that's okay. That was part of my live shot where I had like 20 minutes to go on the air at KTLA, and we turned around some video of the home. So this Dr. Warren Lent and his wife Henny, oh gosh, these folks have been egregious. I mean, that's really the way the Coastal Commission has described them. And we actually covered this story about property owners along the Malibu coastline taking advantage of the fact that, you know, homes are so close to each other. And so they actually put up unauthorized signs, gates, fences, actual garage fronts so that people don't park there or think there's no access, public access to the beach. And the issue with that home in particular is that it's the only public access point for like 3 miles for eastern Malibu beaches. So, of course, the Coastal Commission kept coming to them saying, hey, you got to remove that deck. Their argument was, well, we bought this place in whatever it was, 2002, I think. And that's the way it was. Well, hold on, pal. Under the current law, even if you buy a property that has something that's blocking public access to the sand, you must remove it. It's your property now, so it's your responsibility. But this is really big because the Coastal Commission has been fighting with a lot of these one percenters along the Malibu coastline. But again, all it is, you know, you issue an order and they look at it and they just roll their eyes at it and throw it in the trash and off they go and no one has access to the sand. And that is incredibly unfair. And truthfully, I think until I really delved into the story, I, like many of you, had no idea when you go to Malibu and you go to certain places like Moonshadows, that restaurant, and you look out and you say, oh, how beautiful. It must be nice to have a private beach. There's no such thing as a private beach. Yes, it may be their backyard, but that sand belongs to you and me. Did you know that? Yeah. And I mean, I talked to a kid out there whose parents own a condo. He's from Beverly Hills. He was very sweet, was willing to go on camera with me. And he said, yeah, to be honest with you, I had no idea. My parents rent our condo to people. We thought it was a private beach, this area. And I said, no, it's not. The sand belongs to all of us. The coastline is public. So if you wanted to go with your entire family, you got to find the public access point first, of course, get to the sand and maybe walk towards an area where, you know, there's no public access point. So you might see nobody. And it's just you and your family, and you feel a little awkward because you feel like you're in someone's backyard. You're not. That's your sand. It's public. Public space. So if you want to have a carne asada, you know what I'm saying, like a steakout barbecue, if you want to have the kids out running, you want to play some music, you can do that. And what's terrible is that in the past, there are countless stories of some of these one percenters, and I don't mean to attack my one percenter friends, but there are stories of some of them who have actually hired private security guards to have them removed, to say, oh, this is private space, you must leave. And people don't know any better. I mean, if you're out there and you think, man, this person owns that home, they're probably right. It's a private beach. It's not. So in 2014, which is so fantastic, the Coastal Commission received the power to levy penalties. So this couple, Dr. Warren Lent, again, a plastic surgeon, expert in rhinoplasty, eyelid surgery, facial surgery, and also blocking public access to the beach from its rental, which again, he's renting out for like $921, not per month, per day. Oh no, it's a killing. And again, I'm not mad at you. Capitalism is what it is. Go make your money. But don't block public access. Now you're being a punk. And someone actually tweeted me after my story and said, you know what? I know that guy. And that guy thinks his beep don't stink. And finally is busted. So $4.2 million is what that couple is going to have to face. I think they got busted for, like, the way they broke down the citation was $950,000 or so for each year that they disregarded the notice. And it was something like 10 years. And, you know, one of the coastal commissioners said, this is just represents an attitude by some residents here in Malibu that they feel like the coast is theirs and they don't have to pay attention. But interestingly enough, since the Coastal Commission has been given power to levy penalties, 80% of the issues with some residents are being resolved amicably. Oh, I wonder why. All right, when we come back, your shout-outs and a special guest. Have you been naughty or have you been nice? Because Santa Claus is here. Deborah Mark, are you excited?
I'm so excited. I have a big wish list.
So do I. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Deborah Mark, a good girl.
Hey, that's right, not naughty. The Stanford Marching Band has been temporarily suspended through next...
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Is here. That's what I'm talking about. KFI AM 640 Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, December 11th. It's getting close. I hope you're on the nice list and not of the naughty. December 11th it is. Unbelievable. Tonight, Critics' Choice Awards, right? That's happening tonight. That's what I hear. I also wanted to shout out Scott and Leslie Siegel. They are the Lifetime Achievement Awards recipients for the Heritage Point Gala tonight. I'm excited. I'm going to go out there and celebrate them. It's the only senior Jewish retirement center in Orange County. So that should be fun. And my colleague here, Lisa Fox from MyFM, she always has this annual really cool holiday mixture in West Hollywood with strippers at noon. So that's where I will be. Yeah, I love Deborah Mark's face. You should see, she turned and looked at me like, what? You're not going to make the nice list.
You're going to be in trouble.
Trouble. Mm-hmm. The calendar section is here. And I want to co-host this calendar section with someone very special. And let's just say, please, Santa, please, Santa, please, Sam, on the nice list. Ladies and gentlemen, Santa Claus.
Good morning.
Good morning, Santa. Thank you. I know you're so busy right now. I mean, how many boxes are you going through right now?
Oh, lots of places. You know, I'm out there every day checking up. I'm so glad Mrs. Claus is taking care of things back at the home front, you know. Both at the North Pole and our South Pole auxiliary.
Huh? Gosh. And so do you guys FaceTime Santa? Just curious.
Well, I don't have an Apple product. I have the other thing. But I have been known to Skype and talk with people over the internet. Oh. I've got a technical elf that explains things to Santa. Santa's a little backwards that way, being an old fella, you know.
Yeah, Santa, you're not old. You are...
Timeless.
Timeless, thank you. That's the word. You are timeless. All right, Santa, you're going to help me. You know there's snow in Los Angeles and downtown LA. There's something called Snow Day LA, and there's snow tubing and winter fun for everyone. That is
so much fun. I love snow tubing.
Thank you, Santa. And then Santa also tonight, because everyone's celebrating your arrival soon, Christmas lights on boats. There's a big parade happening in Manhattan Beach.
I might just be there.
Santa, I think I may have seen you yesterday. Were you in Redondo Beach? There was a boat parade there, too.
Wow, you know, Santa gets around, you know.
Santa does. Santa Claus, I understand you have a fundraiser, too.
Well, it's not really a fundraiser. I'll tell you what's happening. Sometimes it takes just a little more time to visit with Santa. So Santa asked his good friends at SoCo, VOC Mix, to help him host a night for special needs visits. And our elf and ace came through with more than we could ask for. I mean, we were just going to use the normal little set down there. While the Chuck Jones Center for Creativity came through, they offered up their special, their area for our special needs night. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have some activities. So this Monday night, December 12th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Chuck Jones Center for Creativity, I'll even have the address written down here. It's 3321 Highland Avenue in the city of Costa Mesa. And for those that are just geographically challenged, you know, as you're going down the 405 freeway and you hit Harbor, it's right there.
Oh, my gosh, this is fantastic. Wait, are you saying this is for special needs individuals?
Special needs individuals, yes.
Oh, this is so dear to my heart. I had no idea. Producer Brandy surprised me.
Yes, and this is a free evening.
This is so fantastic. Maybe I can bring my brother. You know, Santa, my brother has special needs.
He is.
Yes.
Well, bring him down.
Yes. It's funny. You know, he's always been a little bit afraid of you, Santa. You know, he doesn't understand the whole getup. But I tell him it's cool. Like, you're good people. You mean well.
What we have there, we have it's a rather large little center they have there. They do all types of events there. And we're able to control the atmosphere in this room. Oh. We can actually shut it right down, bring it to low level, because that's what happens so many of the places when you go to the mall. These too much stuff around.
Yeah.
Too much noise. Too many things happening. We need to bring it down.
Yeah. Overstimulation.
It's going to be a marvelous evening.
You're right. There's all these sensory. I mean, it's very hard for my brother actually to be around a lot of, you know, noise and people. So that is fantastic. I'm going to tweet this out as well, Santa. And Santa, I also want to share with you that Hamilton, you know, the big play, it's coming to Los Angeles. You can get your tickets.
Oh, I hope Santa can call in and get tickets.
coming to the Pantages Theater. And also, Santa, I know that you are very good about your health. I mean, look at you. Think about how long you've been around. You are timeless, eternal youth.
I tell you, Thomas Nash did us a disservice and painted us in his pictures, you know, a little more chubby than Santa really is. Well, I tell you, Santa's got a thing going for healthy children. We're eating right.
Oh.
We're taking care of ourselves. And most of us Santas are trying to lose just a little bit of the tummy and not eat so many cookies on Christmas Eve.
I'll make sure that, you know, we leave you some sugar-free cookies, right? Gluten-free.
Well, no, because if you eat too many of those, you get a little bit of a problem.
You just can't. You might as well go for the real fat, right? The real calories.
If you're going to enjoy it, enjoy
yes.
it.
Just
and just have a little in moderation. And a bottle of water, please, this year for Santa. You know, milk gets a little, how can we say,
it's a little
warm and curdly sometimes.
Yeah, because you've got a lot of places to visit. I'm always just so impressed about how you get everywhere. It's amazing. So kidney education, Santa, over at UCLA, the Living Kidney Donation Program, happening today from 1 to 4 o'clock. It's over at the Conference Center at UCLA Medical Center, Santa Monica. That's off of 16th Street. We've got all this information, just so you know, Santa. We're posting this on our website, KFIAM640.com. And Santa, maybe you can grant me my little wish list here. I'm looking to create, speaking of special needs, a new model of care at UCLA. So I'm trying to reach out to the CEO of UCLA Health, Dr. Joseph Mazziota. Maybe you can do a little...
Remember when you were small.
Yep.
Santa knows.
Oh, Santa, what do we do without you? So I know if you have a little bit of moment, if you have a little bit of time, free time later, get a chance. You may want to look into the pension plans discussion we had on PBS, Studio SoCal. It's at 5 o'clock. If you have a moment, because I know you're busy. But Santa, now it's the moment of truth. Be honest
what
with
is
me.
Truth?
Did I make the naughty or the nice list in 2016?
Well, we don't discuss the naughty list, because if you're on the naughty list and you don't want anyone to know, I am pleased to announce you're on the nice list.
Yay! Okay, what about Deborah Mark, our news anchor?
Well, she made it too.
Yay! What about John on the ones and twos, our board op?
Well, I've got to tell you something about all the fine folks at KFI 640 on the AM dial, not that FM little junk, Everyone's on the nice list.
Oh, Santa, we love you.
All the work you do and stuff in our communities. Oh, it's so nice.
Oh, I'm so glad producer Brent ran into you yesterday. You've been so busy. You guys were at an event in Orange County, right?
Yes, we were at Reborn Cabinets. They were doing a Toys for Tots set up there, and it was marvelous. We had all types of goodies and Santa and that, and I bet you could still drop off Toys for Tots down there.
You are so fantastic. Santa, thank you so much. You know, it's been our one-year anniversary. In fact, last Sunday, so we are so happy to have you here with us, and I'm going to sign off, but I want you to say Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, and then you do your Santa thing, okay? So thank you, Santa. It's all yours. Thank you, everyone. The Jesus Christ Show is next to you, by the way.
Sunday morning of Elizabeth Espinosa. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. Blessed year this year. You know, Hanukkah lines up right with Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
KFI AM 640.
One solution to the problem of seasonal retail employees not knowing whether to say Happy Hanukkah or Merry Christmas.
Why don't you just stay home and order all your presents online, like the rest of us?
And Merry Christmas Hanukkah to you and you and you.